and you're listening to an adaptation of Beethoven. Beethoven understood resonance, and if this music moves you, then so do you. Good morning. It's Dr. Vincent Medici, and this is Crooked Talk on Health, where you can be assured of technical problems at the opening of my show, because it makes me walk my talk. And let me tell you what that means. If I take a breath right now, and this show will include conversation about energy, if I take a breath right now, I get a current through my body that makes me feel like I just had a massage. Now, I can't get this to you with more emphasis than what I'm going to do today. And it's about resonance. Beethoven, which you were just listening to, had resonance. Resonance is the ability to connect to the spiritual force, to use the task at hand like a botch up on your techno as you open your show, as an exercise to pump the brain, to fill the body with those mysterious chemicals called endorphins, the God chemicals. So under stress, under the morning's botch up, which we all know well, from traffic jams to techno problems, you can put yourself in a state of grace. That is a bodily phenomenon. You cannot will that through your mind. You see, prayer, real prayer, goes into the body and moves the physiology. If it stays from the neck up, it's not prayer then. And this is what we're going to talk about today, because Beethoven understood this, you see. When Beethoven, who was deaf, composed music, his endorphins flowed copiously through his blood, and his creative force intensified. Time stopped. Something bigger than Beethoven called the shots. And we all have these moments. Beethoven had more of these moments. Beethoven was deaf. Maybe that's why Beethoven did have more of those moments. Now, what does this have to do with healing? What does this have to do with enjoying radiant health? It has everything to do with both. Health is resonance between you and the world around you, especially resonance between you and the people around you. I have to get high off this botch this morning, and I did. And that's why I'm me. Now, when I played this song for you today, some of you, I know some of you, went boom, boom. In the marrow of your bone, your spiritual core shook. You began to resonate with the composition as Beethoven sent forth his vibration. People do this with each other all the time. People fall in love together. People create art together. People birth science together. Healers and those to be healed do this together. Relationships, especially when they're strained, are an exercise to reach bliss together. To feel resonance between two people. I rarely met in two decades a patient who wasn't looking for this. And I've seen sick people leave this world in search of it. They want that bliss. They want to know the fruits of resonance. The problem is they don't know how to receive it. So how can they heal? If you're looking for resonance in the world around you, I promise you, the place you have to look is inside yourself, in your very being. And the question and the healing is about whether or not you can hear that inner voice talking to you. But I'm really talking science. Testimony to resonance is all over science. All molecules, all atoms resonate. They all dance with each other in the name of stability, harmony. And when they find that energetically sound configuration in the larger molecule, enormous quantities of energy are released. The same thing happens when people fall in love. Same thing happens when great music is produced. Same thing happens in scientific discovery. Civilization, human evolution, is driven by the very deep need to find bliss as one finds resonance. Now the root, the essence of all healing traditions, not what we have today, but the essence of all healing traditions, understand exactly what I'm talking about. They understand it more deeply than anything I see out there today. The ancient traditions understood what it was meant to open the meridians. Healing back then occurred in the temple, not in the office. It occurred in the temple, in the sacred space constructed of sacred stone. Stone had resonance. And you had to be chosen if you desired to learn the sacred mysteries of healing. In the temple, under supervision, you stretched your tendons, cleaned your blood, remediated your physical scars, and then cast out your demons. There was no lying piece of paper called a diploma. You were your diploma. Now, in ancient times, the healer was trained rigorously under supervision until the electrical current burst forth from the soul and filled those lines of energy called the meridians. The body became electric. The healer was trained under supervision to draw upon the earth, the sun, and the sky for his or her spiritual food. So the healer became electric and went out into the world, and if the patient or apprentice trained their tendons, cleaned their blood, remediated their scars, and purged themselves of negative perspectives, the body would become electric, and there would be great celebration. All those concerned, all those participating, would resonate in bliss to each other. Now, this was a physical feeling. It was a visceral experience. It was not to be denied. It was not, okay, it was not argued. There was unanimity. This was not an occurrence of the mind. It was an electromagnetic shift of the being, a tangible, palpable, knowable, reproducible phenomenon that was the ancient standard of care. It was called opening your meridians. And if you chose to do so, you would be healed or potentiated, and you would know God in a deeper way. But today, we say, where is the research behind these claims? Where are the studies proving the relationship between health and the electric current of the body? I'll tell you where they are. They don't exist, because we don't have people today that understand how to even design a study like that. There are requirements to be able to understand this. There is schooling to be able to understand this. And if you don't potentiate yourself in these types of schools, in these types of understandings, there is no study you can design. A bunch of MDs or scientists dead from the neck down aren't going to cut it. Let alone that the spiritual current might have some relationship to God. You see, so this is either heresy or quackery in the world. Often they call it both. If Harvard and Yale doesn't teach this, it must not be true. Why aren't the authorities told the public about this phenomenon? And if any of this baloney was true, your medical doctor surely would have told you about it. The meridian is real, and if you have enough depth, neurological sophistication, enough spiritual IQ to bring that electrical field to full resonance, you gain a potent ally in your return to radiant health. The problem we face in medicine, and this includes especially holistic medicine, is that the meridian and the resonance it intensifies are either denied as an allopathic or fantasized about in the holistic model. Both perspectives are futile. When you consider that the flow of energy through the meridians is as real as feeling an orgasm. In fact, it's a different kind of orgasm, not driven by the genital, having nothing to do with that. Don't debase this into that thought. But infinitely more valuable with regard to health. We invented science to bring order to the chaos of spiritualists with delusional notions about our physical reality. We call that the Dark Ages of Europe, because maniacs drenched good minds with nonsense dogma about our physical reality. Science was born to change that. Science took off during the Renaissance as reason triumphed over superstition. And scientists, I remind you, were tortured or burned at the stake for stating that the Earth revolved around the sun and not the other way around. That got you the guillotine. That got Giordano Bruno and Kepler imprisoned, and then Bruno was murdered. Initially, science cured disease in the name of research, experimentation, and reason, and then science became the disease it once fought to cure by drowning itself in its own dogma. And that is where you stand and we stand today. Medical science has no practical use. Politicians in medicine write books about it for commercial value, but medical science has no true practical use for the electromagnetic theory of disease. Medicine still chooses to cut things out or prescribe drugs. And when this becomes real, then you'll go to your medical doctor, and he will tell you that the opening of the energy through your intestines will cure your IBS or your low back pain, that your heart palpitations have nothing to do with drugs or surgeries. But our medical model is antiquated. That's why we have shows like this. And since that's all your doctor has ever studied, he's simply at an innocent loss to provide the more dynamic model. Well, where does that leave you, the patient, in search for answers? Disease, and here's a perspective, is the absence of pleasure in your body. Disease is the absence of ease. And you must train your body so that the soul can shine through, so that the lines of energy, the meridians, can fill with full force of your magnetism, and resonant you will become. That resonance is an electromagnetic field, and feeding that field is feeding life itself. The practical point is that the combined effect of everything that a sick person is counseled to do for their health must spearhead, must climax in that very great moment when they begin to feel, and I mean literally feel, their electromagnetic force, otherwise known as chi. This is the best show I have ever done, I have no doubt, and I'll finish it on time. And it began with the second week of botch in tech. But I understand the meridian system, and I can use it as a potent physiological force in my body. That's why I do what I do. This force, otherwise known as chi, prana, otherwise known as innate intelligence, otherwise known as the orgone, the bioelectric field, and all these words and descriptions amount to a pile of dirt unless you, the patient, are guided to a physical, visceral experience of chi running through the meridians of your body. And when you begin to live in that plane of existence, it's called resonance, and your cells will reorganize to a healing. What your doctor in holistic medicine is supposed to do is stretch you, strengthen you, feed you, fast you, purge your demons, remediate your scars, or work with a team of people who understand how to do this, not a hodgepodge of innocence, and use his own resonance to initiate yours. That's a medical model that's dynamic, and that once was. Holistic medicine understands this on paper, and then when it goes to work on it, it fails miserably. You see, theory and the reality of turning a sick person to an electromagnetic existence are two different things. There is art there. We might say there's alchemy. The first key to this art is to identify the rate-limiting variable. So I'm going to introduce a term, the rate-limiting variable. Why do we give herbs to people whose negative emotions block the function of the herb? Because we don't identify its emotion. Conversely, why do we uselessly psychoanalyze the patient when we could free the anger pattern with a series of coffee enemas? Again, because we don't understand the gallbladder. Why are we giving patients nutritional supplements for symptoms and diseases caused by structural issues? Because we can't identify the structural issue. Why are we seeing chiropractors and physical therapists for muscular problems when the muscular tension is caused by nutritional deficiency? Why do psychologists give counsel for anger problems that would be better resolved with a good physical yoga? The scenarios in holistic medicine, they're endless. The buffoonery is endless on this basis. If you pay a nutritionist good money for counsel and your problems are in the psychic realm, you're supposed to be informed of that shortly into therapy, not 2 years later. Conversely, if you pay a psychologist good money for counsel and your negative behavioral patterns are rooted in nutritional deficiency or excess, you're supposed to be informed of that. The rate-limiting variable is what needs to be addressed now, or the other therapies you pay for don't work. And it's not that they don't help at all. It's just that you're not going to get the maximum return on your dollar. And life comes down to time, energy, and money, especially when you're sick, especially when you've lost a decade of your life to illness. The problem with that chiropractor, the acupuncturist, the nutritionist, the psychologist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is that they only know how to identify what they know, so that's the only thing they're going to see. And that fails miserably to maximize your dollar. They're innocent. There's no real diagnostic model within holistic medicine that they ever learned that has any functional meaning. We have to dope it out ourselves, and that progress is slow. The irony is that allopathic medicine, the MDs, have learned a more effective diagnostic model. You bet they have. You have to study the growth of allopathy in the world. Their model worked, and that is why it achieved dominance. And that's why the holistic people fumble over their feet. Their model doesn't even exist. Allopathy, the MD, sends you to an internist, and then the internist, based on high diagnostic skill, determines which specialty, from cardiology to pulmonology to gastro to OBG to neurology to orthopedics. And upon the recommendation of the internist, you go for further counsel. There's a system in place where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, and every participating doctor knows his place. That is power. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time your psychologist referred you to a nutritionist, or your chiropractor referred you to a psychologist, or your nutritionist referred you to a physical therapist? It doesn't work that way in the holistic model. They just put their head down like big molds, blind, with no eyes, and dig. Their tool is the only tool. They only refer when their therapy has failed, and that's 2 years later. If you mistakenly called an auto mechanic to fix your toilet, should the auto mechanic spend 6 months trying to fix it and only ask the thousands of dollars spent, throw up his hands and say, gee, I'm not working here. I think we should try a carpenter and make another useless guess to fix your toilet. There's no such thing as a holistic standard of care. We just make it up as we go along. Well, we'll do it and we'll see. That doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it in the actuarial world of insurance. It doesn't cut it with institutions who have money to spend, like insurance companies. So what do? You, the consumer, you take matters into your own hand, and you decide who you're going to see, how your journey's going to go. You just press the buttons, the nutritionist, the chiropractor, the psychologist, the Pilates instructor, the acupuncturist, and it's all fun and dandy if you're healthy. But when you're sick, and you people know who I'm talking about, then you're lost in a maze, a terrible maze, and it can go on for years and years and years. But the chronically sick patient has to take matters into their own hands, because the holistic model has no understanding of how to proceed. They just do what they do. And you, the patient, you might be an accountant, a lawyer, a businessman, without any real understanding of how to proceed. So the blind lead the blind. Insurance companies know this, and that's why they don't reimburse. The first thing the holistic model has to do is identify the rate-limiting variable. Biomechanics, which is about flexibility and strengthening. That could be its own show. The second variable is blood chemistry. That's nutrition, excess or deficiency. Then the psycho-emotional realm. And lastly, physical scars from physical trauma. We call that the rule of four. Remember the rule of four. It guides you on your journey. In any given moment, the power of your resonance, the strength of your magnetic field, is determined by biomechanics, blood chemistry, your psycho-emotional self, and the physical scars from surgeries or accidents. You must identify the rate-limiting variable. The next piece of the puzzle is to identify how much your illness or symptoms are a blend of these four variables. Example, your back pain may be mostly emotional, but you may have to clean the blood to get to the psyche in the tissue. Your acid reflux may be caused by a scar, but to resolve the scar, you may have to clean the blood so that the scar will break up more easily. Your prostate problem may be desperately in need of nutrition, but until those hamstrings get stretched, the herbs will not access the prostate. And these scenarios go on in an endless array. But the result, if assessment is done correctly, is that the patient is guided through the labyrinth of healing. Healing is a puzzle, and you have to be part Sherlock Holmes, part scientist, part Houdini, and part saint to guide a patient through the healing. Most of all, you must have true connection with your own electromagnetic field, your own resonance. You have to feel that in your own body in a large way. The training you have received as the doctor, now I'm talking, must be ready to pass into your patient. So the efficacy of all therapy is measured by how much it serves the flow of prana or chi through the meridian. I'll repeat it. The efficacy of all therapy is measured by how much it serves the flow of prana or chi through the meridian. And you have to work in relationship with your patient and bring awareness to them as the prana begins in little sparkles to flow, and then guide them as they make the right choices to feed that blissful flow of heat all the way to critical mass. That is the essence of healing. That is a dynamic model. That is what we do not have today. We do not have an integrated model, and we could. To clean the blood, to lengthen and strengthen the tendons, to purge the psyche, to remediate the scars, while simultaneously attaching your patient's awareness to the flow, the visceral feeling of energy flowing through the body. And when you hit critical mass, meaning when that current is strong enough, the cell will repair. Now, what does that feel like? That's a tough one to do on radio. So let me give you this. When you first met your childhood sweetheart, the one you may have married, and you held their hand or fully embraced them, this warm, liquid light engulfed both of you, and that warm feeling ran throughout your body in a seemingly timeless moment. Think about that moment. You've had that moment. It may have been a flash once in your life, never and never to return. Or you may live in it. That's the current I'm talking about. That's the power that you have to regenerate. That is the feeling that normal everyday life usually doesn't provide. And it's exactly what you must be supervised to generate. The purpose of the healing arts is to teach you to generate that feeling, that blissful experience, consistently through the day, the lifetime, to eternity. That's your dome of protection. And you can take that statement to the bank. And some of you, I know, already feel this. And for today, after the show, I'm not going to do questions during the show anymore, but I'll spend a good hour, even more, after the show. So I will take care of you. I'm not doing it in these three-minute clips. It's not my style. But after the show, 888-777-0711, 888-777-0711. If you want to get in a little deeper, then you call Rachel or Joanna, both very aware of this show and what I'm talking about after working with them for 7 years, 310-320-1132. You come into my office there in Santa Monica. It is electric. Those girls pulse with life. They've been trained to. I want to hear from you after the show. If you have this current flowing through your body, if you think you do and you're still in pain, or you suffer from some chronic symptomology, I want to discuss this with you because people like you heal fast. You can still get hurt. You can still get sick. But your kind has a very high healing potential. And all people have the potential to heal all things. There's natural law that has to be followed. In the end, there's God's will. But people who feel their chi or prana access this much more easily, and if they do, this feeling that I'm talking about, they heal much faster. And that's the point. How do you spend your patient's time, energy, and money? How elegantly, painlessly can you bring their chi experience to critical mass? This is my 15th show. Every show before this has led to this show today. You may not have understood that. But I understood that because health concerns and all those things you do about health must open the flow of chi or prana. And this experience must be real in your body. Even though mainstream science is too young to understand this, or we haven't looked back far enough, Google up the word chi, prana. Look in Star Wars, The Force, the midichlorian count. Get the book, Encounters with Ki, a book written by Eisenberg, the MD, made into a successful documentary with Bill Moyers. This stuff is everywhere. You see, but our job, together, is to turn this into the reality of what you feel. Otherwise, it's just fluff. And that's where it's remained for 30 years. And the difference between yoga and flexibility, when you really get down to it, is simply that yoga just has every intention of getting you to feel your energy. It's the only difference. So let's not make yoga complicated. Except one thing. People stretch with no concept of energy. That's a mistake. Everything you do must filter itself to an awareness of that warm feeling that starts to generate. Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, Pilates, massage therapy. You know, the most competitive school in the United States is veterinarian. Because you have a special relationship with your pet. We all know pets love to be pet. Think about it. There's nothing your pet doesn't get if your pet wants it. And then when you make your pet happy, you pet it. And I've watched you. You really wish the pet would pet you. But it doesn't pet you, so you pet it more. You spend more time petting your animal than you get pet by your loved ones. So your pet and you become very important to each other as you pet away. Most competitive school in the United States is vet school, where you learn to heal dogs and cats that you love to pet. And here's the bonus question. Has it ever occurred to you what you are actually doing when you pet your pet? Your pet, as it's purring, your cat as it's purring, is feeling the electric flow of energy through its body. And you're the pet owner, exist in your pet's life solely for that purpose, to pet your pet. You become a master of this biomechanical force we call chi or prana, or the field. The pet knows what you're doing, but you don't. Now, I can take this to many places, like who pets you. When was the last time someone pet your belly while you purred for hours on end? Where's our cushy little pet me setup? We don't have one. People that train dogs and cats should train them to pet their patients, their owners. Now let's take it a step further. I have another question for you pet owners. When you pet your cat and it starts purring, what do you see happen to its spine? Think about this. You're petting your animal, it's purring. What's happening to the backbone of the animal that houses and protects its spinal cord, which is its electromagnetic field? What does that spine do? That's right. The animal begins to pulse into a wave. Our cute little putty cat, who demands that it comes home with you, demands to be fed, demands to be played with, demands to be pet, demands to sleep with you all night, demands to keep you up all night listening to it purr. And then you pet it and it blows into a body wave, a full, complete, total physical wave. As the waves of energy that you, in this case you, the energy master, produce in your pet's body when you pet it. That cat is not really an animal, if you think of it that way. That's an intelligence that we've forgotten as Homo sapiens. And so the question becomes, who pets you? When was the last time you went into a full body wave as someone pet you? Is that cat having pleasure when it gets pet and purrs and waves? You know it is. You can see the natural state in your animal as you love it turn into an electric wave. And that animal is not in anything but bliss. That's why it purrs. That's why it moans. Could it be that your pet, who you know so well and trust so well, is doing something very important for the maintenance of its health? And another thing, why are you so fascinated with petting your pet? Because you are. Because you'll sit there for hours and pet your pet and then give it a little kiss on the nose. And I'll bet you you couldn't go a week without petting your pet. Why is that? What's in it for you? Is this pure altruism? Or is there some strange form of symbiosis? Now, what we're establishing here through the back door is that the initiate, that is that to initiate, potentially sustain the flow of the bioelectrical force through your body, to do that, you should be touched. That's right, the art of massage. Grossly misunderstood, especially if your client or patient goes into body waves when they get touched. And some of you are out there walking around and you do that. And you never tell anybody you do that. I know that. I've seen that. Over years, I've seen people do that. And why do they always stand up in the state of bliss and say, I feel God when I do that? What is that connection between the shift in the electromagnetic field and what we call God? That's the place you have to bring the healing to, because that's what truly regenerates the biochemistry of the cell. That's what we're missing today, you see, in our arrogance. Okay, we call that quackery. In the reality, it should be driving the next age of medicine. In the Dark Ages, and we called it the Dark Ages, we just burned those people at the stake. We tore out their eyes. Definitely, we mutilated their genitals. Or don't you remember that book, The Physician and Sexuality in Victorian America? J. Haller and Haller? To look in someone's eye and see the force of life, the electrical force, bright and vibrant, at different times in world history has been a threat. It's been a threat to the autocracy. It's been a threat to the church. It doesn't need to be. God and energy are one. One drives the other. One does not work against the other. It's just that if you understand it in your body energetically, then you have a powerful tool to heal the body. The biophysics will replace the biochemistry. We've constructed a society where only animals are allowed to have that pleasure. Makes you wonder who the animal really is. But this is civilized modern-day society where scientific doctrine rules the world. But on the point of the bioelectrical field that must be fertilized for good health, science just shakes hands with the medieval church that it once fought against. Our Renaissance evolved in response to narrow dogma. And yet our very same science today is its own sick dogma. What has changed? You have changed. You have changed. The last 1,000 years have given, at least in Europe and the Americas, enough time to consider things from multiple perspectives. And it is time to take that jump. That is why you listen to Dr. Marshall. That is why you may be listening to this show. Because you know in your gut there's something else out there. And you have to come out of your closet. Next week we're going to talk about what happens as that flow of energy begins to hit the brain. There's a whole chemistry there that we're just on the verge of understanding. But that's where your creative vision becomes the material world. That's where your dreams become true. And that is what God wants. But it's an exercise. It's an exercise that has to mean more than just the neck up. Okay? It is the prayer through the body, through the being, that we have to evolve to. You have to shift the physiology. There's a vital connection there. There is reciprocity between the two. And along the way, we've had these sparks of understanding. But every time we do, we seem to then just twist it into something aberrant. We create wars over nonsense. Paradigms clash. Not necessary. Not for you. Not if you listen to this show. So your job is to find your practitioner, whoever that practitioner might be, and bring this to them. Become pranic in your body. That is not religion. okay? Not religion. But there is God in the body. And if you want to translate that into the physiology of your being, you cannot prove its existence unless you feel that warm feeling. And all people who feel it, who train themselves to feel it, can use it. And they will all say the same thing. There will be unanimity when you feel that wonderful warmth that flows through your meridians. Okay, that's a wrap. Call now. Give me 3 minutes and then get on the phones. 888-777-0711. You're going to need to hear this show again. StraightTalk.cc, StraightTalk.cc. You have a wonderful week. And listen to my close with Beethoven, hopefully with no technical defects. Have a good week.